I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Sunday, March 29th, 2026. I hope you're having a blessed day. Hope you're enjoying time with the family or touching the grass if you're lucky enough to have that grass, or maybe admiring the last of the snow if you're living here in the prairies. Let's try and build a prelude or a vision of what this week probably entails. We've had some fairly important headlines over the weekend. Let's get them out of the way first. Pentagon prepares for weeks of ground operations in Iran. You'll recall on Thursday I said ground operations start this weekend, hoping that I could jinx the process and they wouldn't be underway by the time the weekend is over. There are forces in the region that are operationally ready, but they haven't moved yet. The war continues apace, and Iran is doing some serious damage, and we'll get to that next, but there's a very limited number of troops with some amount of firepower, but going up against mountainous terrain, very unforgiving, a well-prepared military where small arms and munitions are going to be every bit the equal as Iran holds the high ground. But something else happened this weekend, incredibly problematic. That's the headline from today. Iran destroys U.S. AWACS jet at Saudi base. The first thing, most important thing I'll get out of the way, is the military theory, if you can call it that, that's gone into the assault on Iran was that if you took out enough of the leadership, whether it's military leadership or political leadership, the regime would just fall apart. Instead, the Islamic Republic has generated new leadership. The regime is solidly in place, and the people have rallied behind it as well as the military. Where go the people? Goes the military, typically. But here we have an example of how outdated U.S. military thinking is, because big, expensive eyes in the sky. We're talking the head, the chief plane around which the U.S. aerial campaign can be planned and monitored in real time. That's what these AWACS represent. And there it is. This isn't fake news. Some people have said it's fake news. We must await military confirmation. The confirmation has come from multiple different directions at this point. We can successfully and safely report that this is in fact real. And assets in Qatar and in Saudi Arabia of the U.S. military are continuing to take weathering damage. And it's not just Qatar. It's not just Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. In Bahrain, it is also Jordan. This is brand new out, hot off the presses. Iranian army launches drone attack on U.S. base in Jordan. If they can hit an AWACS in Riyadh, they can hit just about anything they want. Iran-backed Houthis, of course, joined the war with an attack against Israel. They have announced that their intentions are limited at this point. This isn't an all-out campaign. You see, I think it is to Iran's advantage to try and do as much damage as possible to the United States and Israel as is necessary to secure their victory in the war from their strategic perspective. They have a list of demands. They're going to want some of those demands met. They're not going to give in to the capitulation demands of the Israeli-American military. So they're willing to keep the war going, and they're willing to keep it going at pace. This isn't an all-out assault by them. They haven't launched one yet. This is a paced and measured action in response to escalation as Israel and the United States climb the escalation ladder, as they hit civilian infrastructure all over Iran, as they hit power plants like they said they wouldn't. Iran is responding in kind. And now they have demonstrated very viscerally that they are capable of taking out the United States' most valuable asset in the sky outside of maybe its satellite network. The real-time value of an AWACS cannot be underestimated. They're not easily replaced, and the United States has a thin inventory of them. It's really clear that, or it should be clear, that if you're just listening to Trump, or you're just listening to Hegseth, or you're just listening to Rubio, or you're listening to the political generals that go on mainstream media while they loop video of the United States blowing up trucks, you're not getting the full picture. The full picture must be discerned from all the other things that are happening, the happenings. That will give you a clear picture if you know how to look at it. U.S. eases Belarus sanctions, as Trump says he'll help U.S. farmers impacted by Iran war. The U.S. and their professed adversary, Russia, is making all kinds of money right now. Iran, the people that the United States are at war with, are making excessive amounts of new money every single day. As they control the strait, they allow traffic to pass that they deem can pass. They now want to set up a permanent toll on the Persian Gulf. They intend to rule it. That's part of their demands. Demands that they're not backing off of anytime soon. I'm not really sure how ground troops, if maybe 10,000, 14,000, I think, is the latest number that will be deployable in the region within weeks, with operations maybe starting sooner. I thought maybe this weekend, maybe this week. It's going to happen. Because I do not believe the United States can climb down from this. I don't think the politicians in Washington can admit the grave mistake that they've walked into. And there's many people in the MAGA movement that still, on this one-month anniversary of the 24 to 48-hour war, the new 2 weeks to flatten the curve, can't admit that this was a great big blunder. When you're easing the restrictions that you yourself placed on your geopolitical adversaries to try and prop up global markets, which Iran has by the balls, I don't know how many more ways I can say it. I can't even get excited about it anymore. You need to understand that Iran is in control of this situation, not the United States and not the Israelis. And there's some headwinds coming. Like, if you're familiar with my work, you know there's a lot about MAGA, and there was a lot about the things that Trump said he was going to do and has done that I liked. Sanity when it comes to the gender issue, for instance. And the promises that haven't been kept, like dealing with the national debt, paring down the U.S. empire, and dealing with illegal immigration, because it has knock-on effects with my own country. The drug problem that he highlighted, the truth that he was telling about Canada. My work speaks for itself. It hasn't changed, but I have to update my worldview in real time. This is a mistake, and it's now consuming. It's consuming America first. It's consuming MAGA in a war the United States didn't need. Israel needed this war. Speaking of Israel, top arms control official refuses to confirm that Israel has nukes. You have to listen to this.
What is Israel's nuclear capability in terms of weapons?
I can't comment on that specific question. I'd have to refer you to the Israelis on that.
This is Trump's guy.
Does Israel have nuclear weapons?
I'm not prepared to comment on that.
You're not prepared to comment on it? It's a very basic question. We are, with an ally, conducting a war against Iran. This war continues to escalate. Tell us something, as Congress, as the oversight body, what is Israel's nuclear capability in terms of weapons?
I can't comment on that specific question. I'd have to refer you to the Israelis on that.
So, I think the tail wags the dog. When it comes to Israel and the United States, Israel's calling the shots. They called the shots and brought America into this war. And they're keeping America in this war right now. They can't afford to have the United States leaving. And there are these analysts and there's these notions that Trump is going to rein the Israelis in. Well, let's see if that happens. I think it's too late. I don't think America can get out of this thing. I think Israel and America are firmly on the fisherman's hook. They're caught. And if they leave, they have to leave by leaving something on the table. They have to pay reparations. They're going to have to come to security arrangements. They're going to have to admit that Iran was aggressed against and admit defeat. I don't see that happening. That's not a historically common thing. Empires don't admit defeat. They double down and double down and double down, and then they fall. I think the political consequences for the Republican Party are already baked in. I said a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I made the argument that this needed to wrap up real quick so that they could save things. But when I say that something needs to end quick or something needs to happen within a given timeline, I don't just say that for political purposes. I say that because I believe there's a fixed timeline. And when the timeline expires, the consequences that I foresee are baked in. So I don't think it gets better. I don't think the story gets better, regardless of whether the war ends or not. I'd prefer that it ended, but I'm not sure the Republican Party is going to recover from what's happening. You're watching the petrodollar be broken. There's an intelligence operation, I swear. I firmly believe it's an intelligence operation of influence online, which is trying to paint the image that this is checkmating the BRICS and this is checkmating the Chinese and this is all about the city of London and it's not about Israel and it's not about the United States and it's not about their relationship and what they often go and do together, keeping our eyes off the ball. The traffic that's moving through the Strait of Hormuz, the ships that are getting passed because Iran allows them to, are paying for their product in yuan, not in the US dollar. The traffic that is moving is favoring China, not the petrodollar. And this is where it gets dicey. This is the end of the petrodollar. It didn't have to be a bad thing. The days of the US dollar being the world's backstop and global reserve currency were over. And Vance and Trump recognized those things. I've talked about it in previous work. But it could have been a much more gentle transition. This war virtually ensures that it's going to be absolutely rotten to experience for millions of people living in North America and billions of people across the planet. This is Quoth the Raven, and this is just my attempt, again, to try and highlight the problems that the Republicans are coming into in November and the problems that the United States in general is coming into. Quoth the Raven, I'm sorry, but the Fed has run out of road. There is no painless option left. It's deflationary depression or crippling inflation. We'll just pop down here and read. The next phase of this cycle is almost certainly deleveraging, not the slow and orderly kind that policymakers like to describe in speeches, but the forced kind, the kind where lenders pull back, refinancing becomes difficult, and assets that were priced for perfection suddenly have to reflect reality. Markets are about to open, futures anyway. The commodity markets are about to open. I do not believe that Trump can just pour water on it with words anymore. He's cried wolf one too many times. I think we're at the reckoning phase. I think we're at the price discovery phase of the new paradigm that we're entering into. Once that process starts, there are only two broad paths. The first path is to let it happen. Credit contracts, defaults rise, asset prices fall, and the system works through its excesses the old-fashioned way. The problem is that this amount of leverage in the system today is enormous, and it has been built during a period of unusually low rates, printing money like crazy. When I signed my first mortgage, I never thought I'd see a rate that low again. Every rational person in the world assumed that rates would go back up from near nothing. Instead, it went on for 12 years, and if you're the Japanese, it went on for way longer. And people borrowed that free yen and levered up. I'm trying not to get out of control here, but leverage, derivatives. It's not just the money that's a Ponzi scheme. It's what's been done with the money. We just Ponzi after Ponzi after Ponzi, all held up by a very thin layer of reality that nobody cares about anymore. This Main Street that's just very thin, holding up this whole edifice and completely unappreciated for holding up the edifice. The second path is intervention. The Fed steps in. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Provides liquidity and expands its balance sheet aggressively. Quantitative easing returns, possibly at a scale that makes previous rounds look restrained. The last big one. You Bitcoiners who want a bull run, you might get it. Just not going to be the bull run you want it to be. Asset prices stabilize, credit markets function again, and the immediate crisis is contained. This is what my friend Larry Leopard refers to as the big print, but here is where the situation becomes genuinely problematic. The Fed cannot cleanly choose the second option, though I think it's the way they will head. They cannot do it with inflation still running above target without major inflationary consequences. So they print this time, and it'll make the inflation of 21 look like child's play. And the last thing you're going to want to do is be saving money and holding money. You're going to want to get rid of money as quick as you can. And in a situation where you want to get rid of money, you almost need higher interest rates to force people to hold in money, but they can't raise interest rates because it'll kill the economy. This is a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment in time. Subprime crisis 2.0, will private credit be the trigger? It's a tough market week. This past week was another disparaging one. Markets opened the week surging after President Trump posted on Truth Social. Let's just stop right there and understand that we're living in a time where one man's social media account can move markets. That his posts, which as regards the Iran war, are pretty fantastical. They're pretty off the cuff and not very well based in reality. It's kind of crazy to watch. But his post is more powerful than reality. I think that ends this week. I think markets are going to open and we're going to find out about reality, and we're going to find out that real action is going to reassert its control over the value of things in the market. And social media posts may turn counterproductive. You know, it's like in crypto. You've got a founder. He's established some kind of new coin, Web 5.0, life-changing, machine learning, all the buzzwords. It's got everything. It's got a charismatic leader that does good in web interviews. And every time that charismatic leader tweets, the price goes up. Yeah, it's a bull run, but the price goes up until it doesn't work anymore, until that leader loses credibility and months and years go by and everybody knows he's full of it. And then eventually when he tweets or posts good news, everybody sells off anyway. That's kind of where we're at with the Trump social media situation. The macro backdrop darkened further. Futures markets pushed the probability of a Fed rate hike by year end to 52%, which is the first time it has crossed the 50% threshold as Brent topped 110, which I think it'll finish this week higher than 110, to say the least, if this week truly is the beginning of price discovery. Maybe not. Maybe people need the BS. Maybe they need the narratives, and maybe they will still steer the markets by those narratives because of belief. They've taken their belief away from the Father above, and they've put it in men, and they've put it in myths, and they've put it in narratives, and they've put it in politicians as they parade around and act like they're honest bastions of what is true, when you can see with your eyes the naked lie of the entire thing through the actions that are happening in the world. These headwinds, to summarize, are coming to the Republican Party in November and have manifested already. This is from the Houston Chronicle. Democrat turnout in record numbers in Tuesday's election. Will the enthusiasm carry into November? Now, some will dismiss this with one set of words or another set of words, but more than 2.3 million Democrats, or 12.4% of registered voters, turned out and voted in that race, which Tallarico ultimately won. The party hasn't seen a participation rate that high during a midterm primary since 1990, according to data from the Secretary of State's office. Think about what was happening in 1990. Think about what was building in the world. Think about how long the Republican Party had been in office. Think about those headwinds. The Democrats might not be the sanest group of people. They may not be something that the independents in America are willing to unite around in general. I think the independents, and they're what matters. They're the swing voter. They're not the people who are dialed into the Democrat Party, not the people who are dialed into the Republican Party, but the people in the middle that Trump is losing. Those people are going to steer what happens. And they may not be comfortable with the Democrats having control of everything, but they might be far more uncomfortable with a forever war that's ballooning into a global conflict, which is going to take down the global economy. That might make them a little bit more uncomfortable. And they may want to pay attention to that a little bit harder. And they may be saying to themselves, they're seeing that Trump is full of baloney. They can see it. And things, manifestations that not only the independents, but the right is also getting it, is when you have that clip like I showed Friday, where Trump cancels his appearance at CPAC, and then the person who's speaking asks the audience, would you like to see impeachment proceedings? And they all go, yeah! And he's like, that's the wrong answer. These are all bellwethers. These are all thermometers on the politics of the United States. This war is really bad for everything Trump. There's also all of these other knock-on pinpricks. Because the administration's attention is being lost on domestic affairs, some domestic situations weaken, which scrapes away support at the edges. Here's another one. Trump asked Congress to pass clean reauthorization of FISA spy powers, Lawmakers from both parties have signaled opposition to extending Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Services Act without changes. They want some amendments, but the administration is looking for a blank slate. Remember, they campaigned against this sort of stuff. The America First Alliance didn't think it was all right for Congress or for the U.S. to have, for the U.S. government to have, unrestricted spy powers. And you could read into the details of it, but the fact of the matter is, this is just one of the knock-on consequences of the war. And of course, one of the consequences of war is the sacrifice of truth. On screen, I was tagged into this. Wow, did you see POTUS, Trump's message to Mark Carney and the corrupt Liberal government of Canada? Epic! I've seen this thing shared around all over the place. I've seen it liked thousands upon thousands of times. I've seen it retweeted, and I've seen videos on YouTube made about the content of it. But it's entirely fake and false. It's a totally fake truth social post. It's so easy, right up here, to debunk this stuff, right up here. You can't see it, but I got this folder called US. You can see it. And in that folder, I've got Trump's Truth Social. You don't even need to log in to go here and see what he's been talking about and figure out that this thing on screen didn't happen. People are running with it. Members of the alternative media that should know better are running with a fake story and killing their credibility. God knows I make mistakes here too. I'm not here to preach perfection, but I aim for it. I try. I try to be proper. I try to err on the side of facts and history. I take a little bit of time. I'm never the first person to break news. I try to make sure the news is proper before I break it. And you're going to catch me every now and again making mistakes. That's what happens. That's to err is to be human. But I see so many big accounts making the same mistakes over and over again and too full of ego or pride or malintent to bother to take it down or issue a correction, at least delete the thing and just pretend like it didn't happen. Be a Mark Saplinsky about it. That guy at least deletes stuff and just pretends like he never expressed the point of view. Mark, Matt, whatever his name is. Someday I'd love to have a chat with that man. Anyway, if you see Truth Social posts, just go over to Truth Social. You don't need to log in. You don't need to sign up. And you can check and see what Donald Trump's talking about. He's doing enough damage on his own these days. You don't need to be making stuff up. At any rate, I'm Frank Vaughn. I hope you're having a good Sunday. I'll see you in the next one.